Racer Radio on AM 1170 The Answer is sponsored by Love Radio Network. This is Racer Radio on AM 1170 The Answer. If it's a car, motorcycle, boat, or anything else with an engine in San Diego, it's on Racer Radio. Now, here's your host, Dave Stahl.
All right, folks. Hey, welcome. This is Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170. I'm Dave.
And I'm Michelle, and you're listening to The Answer.
And this segment is brought to you by San Diego Carburetor and Fuel Injection. If you're looking to get your street car, race car, classic car, vintage car, and you want to go back to bone stock or go really, really fast, 6622 University Avenue is where you need to go. Go to sdcarb.com, sdcarb.com. Stan is truly the man when it comes to carburation, fuel injection, and, believe it or not, tuning a distributor. On older cars, that was a big thing. I have got a very, very, very special guest on the line, my good friend Sue Mead, who has gotten herself into the B.F. Goodrich East-West Australia Jeep Expedition. It's going to launch July 1st, and this is their 50th anniversary of recreating Ian McDonald's 1969 crossing of the continent, including the remote northern reaches of the Simpson Desert. Michelle, listen to this. 800 kilometers without any services. Would you go on this?
Oh.
Would you do this? No.
Well, you'd have to get a pretty good igloo cooler.
Yeah, you'd have to have some. So we got Sue Mead on the line. Sue, how are you today, dear?
I'm great. I'm ramping up for my trip that begins for me next week. As you know, Chris Collard is on the line, who's one of the organizers of this, and he actually leaves this week. He has an extended journey that he can tell you about getting the vehicles to the jumping off point. But I'm doing well. I'm excited.
No services for 800 kilometers. That's a long way.
It is a long way. I was thinking that you might say, why would I do it?
No.
And I realized you didn't know.
Because you were asked. That's why you'll do it. I mean, let's go to Chris.
It's an adventure.
Yeah, let's go to Chris for a second.
Let's go to Chris.
So, Chris, I know you haven't been doing this for 50 years, but for folks that maybe don't know anything about this East-West Australia Jeep Expedition, why don't you kind of give the folks a rundown of maybe a little history of it, and then what type of vehicles will be in the race?
Great. Hey, Dave, Michelle, pleasure to be on the show. Obviously, you mentioned Ian McDonald and his crew back in the 60s. And the Simpson Desert and the center of Australia in general has been one of those just remote and kind of untracked places. Many, many areas of it are. And they, you know, had this idea to cross from the most easterly point, which is Cape Byron, to the most westerly point, which is Steep Point on the Indian Ocean, and do it in Jeeps. And they wanted to cross an area of the Simpson Desert that had not been crossed. And so they went up to the northern sections. And the interesting thing about this particular part of the Simpson, well, the Simpson Desert is the largest collection of north-south sand dunes in the world. There's 1,100 of them that will be crossing.
Whoa. And is this all girls, all boys, all mix? Anybody and everybody's welcome?
Well, it's one of the things traveling in remote regions I found is you've got to be very selective on your crew.
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons I've invited Sue, known her for years, worked together in Mexico and South America. But it's a mix. So there will be some ladies and there will be some men.
Great.
A total of the crew of 11 in six Jeeps.
Okay. Oh, it's only down to six Jeeps. What now? What kind of vehicles are you taking? Are you taking vintage or are you taking new?
We are taking, actually, it's a mix. We don't have any of the vintage vehicles. We could not locate one that could be restored for this project. So we've got a new Jeep JL, a couple of Jeep JKs, and a couple of Jeep TJs. So we got three generations.
Okay. All right. Yeah, it's funny. I reached out to Jeep, and I said, hey, are you aware of this? They went, heck yeah, we're aware of this. So I'm thinking, well, how come you don't have a Gladiator? I mean, you know.
Well, that would have been nice.
Next year.
Love the Gladiators.
Next year.
Mm-hmm.
So now, is this going to be like most of your cross-country safari-type things? Are you going to be using no navigation or just maps and a compass? Or how are you going to get from point A to point B?
Well, David, you know, it's a modern era, and I'm an old school guy. I love analog, you know, paper maps, which I do have. We have a full selection, but we will be using GPS units and tracks. Specifically, there are a few places where we have special permission from the national park and the Aboriginal communities across the northern section of the desert. And so there are areas that we don't want to cross into as far as like lines of latitude.
Gotcha. And you guys are super respectful, you know, of what you're doing as it is. I mean, you know, whatever you go in, you bring back out. I mean, you're not. And I think that's probably the other reason why they allow you to do this event. But for only having six vehicles, isn't that a small group, or is that how you like to set it up?
Well, there's an old Illinois adage that if you add a vehicle, you add an hour. So if you end up with a long chain of cars, you increase the possibility for a problem, mechanical problem or other. In six, it was going to be five. That's what the original group had three.
A
couple of overlanders, which were an extended kind of a ute with a wagon back on it, like a sport utility vehicle, and an old CJ. But it's a good safe number. The key is having quality equipment.
Right.
We've got some great partners on board. As far as the aftermarket. And a good crew.
So how long is it going to take?
Well, the crossing will be about 20 days. About 20 days from coast to coast.
Wow.
With no TV?
Yeah, so TV's overrated. We'll be producing.
I'd never make it. I got to have me and the Rain Man, we're tight. So yeah. Sue, hello. Yes. Sue, are you out there?
Hello.
Have you ever done anything like this before?
I have. I've been on a number of month-long trips, which actually I've been gone for a month, but often the driving is 2 to 3 weeks. And one of those was with Chris on the 2011 Dakar. We were together on a team that finished first in the stock production class, and we had a lot of experience with long days, travails, and I've also spent some significant time in Borneo and Mongolia and Central America in rainforest, so I have some of the experience and exposure. I know, and that's one of the reasons I know that Chris considered me and asked me to be on the team. I have a lot of experience in kind of digging deep within myself and also using the tools of the trade to get through the really tough stuff. And I'm so excited that we have BFG on board with great tires. If you're a desert racer, extreme driving, tires are everything. And then we have Warren Winch, as you know, and we're invariably going to be using shovels and winching, and we have some Max Tracks and other methods of getting ourselves out of difficult situations. We might only have a few. One of the things I asked Chris was whether we would maybe send drones ahead, because I've done extreme driving through the Sahara and through the Atacama, the Sahara, of course, in Africa, and the Atacama in Chile and Argentina. And sometimes when you have a number of racers going through a spot that has been folks have gone in and pre-run it, you have an idea of where you're going. And there are folks even flying overhead during the daylight hours to see if someone is toppled over the backside of a dune. When we're a group of this size, there are going to be a vehicle or two that go over first, and there'll be some methods of scouting. And so I said to Chris, will we have some drones, not only for photography and video, but would that be a method to maybe sort of send out ahead and look at the best track as we go forward?
Yeah. Well, you know what, Chris? We have to take a break, but you're coming back at 3:45. So, folks, pay attention. Don't go anywhere, because if you think that's something, wait till you find out how they're going to eat. I mean, between TV and eating, I don't know. I'd have to think about this. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, a whole lot more right here on Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
Folks, hey, welcome back. You are listening to Racer Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
I'm Dave.
And I'm Michelle.
And this segment is brought to you by El Cajon Ford, where nobody, absolutely nobody, takes better care of you than El Cajon Ford. Family owned and operated, ElCajonMotors.com. Check out all the new vehicles, used vehicles. 80% of the used vehicles are trade-ins. That's what's cool about El Cajon Ford, and they're big, big supporters of motorsports, and they are here to sponsor Barona Circle Track. Barona Circle Track, if it's been a while since you've been there, it has totally, totally changed. This track is so family-oriented, and you want to talk about fun, family fun, lawnmower racing, dwarf cars. Well, they've got it all. They've even got the big boys. They got the lightning sprints. But right now, we're going to talk to Chad Mathis. He hosted the Western State Dwarf Car Nationals up in my old neck of the woods, Petaluma, California. How you doing, Chad?
Great. Thanks for having me, Dave and Michelle.
Yeah, welcome back. We're glad to have you back to tell us all about how the weekend went up there at the Petaluma track.
You know, it went great, and actually went great for one of your local guys.
That's what we heard, yeah.
Yeah, he did super well on Friday. It was quite a tricky track. I say that because it was somewhat overwatered in turn four and down the straightaway. So even our little dwarf cars, as light as they are, they created some ruts and some shelves for us to drive through. And you had to keep your car either under that or above it. And Darren, he went out in his heat race, won his heat race. He was in the fourth heat race, so he started in fourth position for the main, and he took the win for the pro division on Friday night. It was awesome.
So for people that
great watching.
So for people that don't know anything about Petaluma, how big a track are we talking about?
It's a 3/8 track, and it's a adobe.
Okay.
Like it can be potentially very hooked up, and for Friday night, although it was hooked up and racy, it was quite challenging, I would say.
Your promoter, Brittany, number 37, she asked me to ask you if the tides had anything to do with it. So being for
it
the fact
not.
That I live up there, I know what she's talking about, but it didn't affect the track?
No, I mean, being that we're only a few miles away from the Petaluma Basin, so
right.
When the tides come in to the Petaluma River, it can affect the track. Both nights, the low tide was right around race time, so the tide did not affect as far as like how wet the adobe was. And also, I feel personally, like racing there a lot, that the larger cars help bring that moisture out of the ground. And because it was only the 600s and the dwarf cars on Friday, I don't think that really was a factor in
okay.
the track conditions.
Gotcha. So it's 3/8 mile is, and what is about all this food? I mean, you guys.
Oh, man.
I know. I mean, Brittany was showing pictures. I mean, you'd think you were at a buffet someplace.
Oh, well, we had about 200 chickens that were donated by a local poultry service, McCoy Poultry Service, here in Petaluma.
Cool.
And my wife ended up, she cooked all that chicken, and we had my mother-in-law, she made a salad for Friday night, and
wow.
We definitely had some good eats after some great racing.
So did your wife volunteer, or did you volunteer her? Because I know how racers are. I know how racers are. See?
It was
See?
Definitely a suggestion, but she was like, oh, no, I'm in.
Yeah.
She loves cooking. She loves it when she can make a good meal and everyone has a smile on their face.
I know.
Kind of, you know, that lull in in the crowd when everyone's just digging in and eating. She loves it.
I know. I bet. Yeah, I know the feeling. I love cooking myself. So, I totally get it. So how long has that track been around?
Well, I believe we're in our 58th year being open. And our club was actually in the local parade celebrating 58 years of excellent racing. The theme was Petaluma Puns.
Uh-huh.
And so the track's been around for quite some time.
Wow, that's great.
It hasn't always been 3/8. Well, I believe when it first opened, it was a smaller track, and they extended it out.
Right.
Made it a little larger.
Is it family? Is it a family-owned and operated track?
Yes. The Glad Enterprises, they run it. The grounds are still owned by the fairgrounds, and Glad Enterprises runs it, and right. Who runs that is Rick Faith, and it's a full family operation, right. Him and his wife and his daughter. They run everything. I mean, Rick was down there on Thursday working the track. A lot of people from out of town, the Brona folks and people from Colorado, Oklahoma, were all, you know, thanking him for the work that he was putting in to set it up for us. And then he was down there, obviously, Friday after the racing when we were eating and having a good old time. Sure. He was out there working the track. Turned it over for Saturday night.
Well, you know, that's a major compliment to you and your facility. I mean, when you got people coming from all over the place just to run a little 3/8-mile clay track, and I'm telling you, I mean, Brittany is your second best promoter. I mean, she has not stopped talking about what, and this is her first year of going out and just experiencing different racetracks, which I think is awesome. I mean, and she's having an absolute blast, and she just couldn't stop talking. I mean, that's why you're on today.
Yeah. Yeah. We saw her on Thursday. She was a little tired from the traveling, but sure. We went and walked the track and everything. She was like, wow, it doesn't look that wet. I was like, oh, just wait. And then Rick went out there and he worked it. And she's like, oh dear. What am I getting into?
Yeah. By the way, if you ever need her to work extra,
yeah,
bacon sandwiches. All you have to do is bring out those bacon sandwiches, and that girl will paint buildings. She'll build bleachers. As long as there's a bacon sandwich at the other end, she's golden. Am I right, Michelle?
Oh, yeah. 2 pounds of bacon every weekend.
See?
If she's racing.
Yeah. So that's your insight.
You know, she didn't share. I wonder if she
didn't. Oh. Ooh, no sharing. That's terrible. So now let me ask you this. Since you're doing all, and you're the promoter now, do you drive anymore? Have you hung up the helmet, or what are you doing?
Oh, no. I'm not. I'm just the local president of
the club.
Dwarf Car Association.
Oh,
yeah, the club.
Okay.
I did race. I ended up winning my heat race on Friday and started in second. I fell behind the fourth and close to the end of the race, I want to say 3 laps to go. And a racer shouldn't say this, but I threw in the towel. I was exhausted. The late nights and prepping for the show, whatever. Mm. But I threw in the towel and I told myself I have 4 or 5 spots that I can give up and I can stay in the top 10 and transfer to the A main. And that's what I did. I gave up every spot I could and ended up 10th.
Well,
but hey. It's a transfer spot.
Well, and you're smart too. I mean, you know the limits of your of what you have, and I mean, and I'm sure if you would have pushed yourself beyond your tiredness, you could have hurt yourself and maybe somebody else as well. So I think that was a smart move on your part.
I could have made a mistake, definitely.
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt. Yeah, and uh-huh. Yeah, and equipment doesn't fix itself, and that all costs money. So, do you have any sponsors that sponsor your club?
The club, actually, we were lucky enough to get about 13 sponsors that really came through. And without the sponsors, we wouldn't have been able to give the awards and the payout and the plaques. We gave a total of 31 plaques.
Wow.
Well, awards, you know, some of them were clocks and some of them were just plaques with what they earned. And then we had these metal lit trophies with for the first place, and a lot of this had to do with the sponsors and Lagunitas Brewing Company. They came through and provided us with all of the apparel for the race.
Really?
And normally apparel, you know, that's a cost that's unknown return on investment, and Lagunitas, they came through and provided us with all the apparel. We were very appreciative of that.
Who else could you remember as a sponsor? Because you know, if you don't get them all, you're going to have to call back next Sunday and do this all over again with a nice list. I could tell.
Really came through with Pit Stop USA and Velocity Racing Gear. They actually added on top of what they already were giving out to the drivers and everything on Thursday night. They saw the flow of cars coming in and said, you know what? This is great. This is great for the local guys, great for the people traveling. So he came in and he added more to the pot, you know?
Wow.
And they had a dwarfworld.com where you can go and get parts for your dwarf car and everything. They came through and provided not only a little bit of money, but some vouchers to the Fast Dash on Saturday. And then all the people that came through for the food. I mean, the food's a big expense, too. You have apparel and food that are the unknowns.
Yeah.
And Ron Quality Cut Meats, he's a local guy here in Petaluma, California, that he'll do wild game. That's what he specializes in. He butchered all the meat for Friday and Saturday.
Wow.
And the meat was provided, the chicken from McCoy Poultry Services. And then the pork on Saturday was provided by Ashadena Cheese Company. And they're out there in Chilena Valley, which is it's part of Petaluma, the greater part of Petaluma.
Right.
Windsor Fabrication, they made the middle and provided the top three, the first place trophies, the ones that lit up and everything. They did all the metal work on that. And Izzy's Performance Injectors, White Racing Shocks, Action Capture Images provided a bunch of pictures, and so did Steve Elliott, Digital Design. And then we had Action Rents. We added a couple lights inside the pits areas to make sure everything was lit and no one had any problems with maneuvering their cars.
Sure.
And we had 69 cars on Friday and 70 cars on Saturday.
Wow.
And that's just the dwarf cars. We had also the two classes, that one on Friday and one on Saturday.
Uh-huh.
The 600s brought in 16 cars, and the spec sprints, they brought in 20.
Wow.
We had over 90 cars on Saturday.
Holy.
And still finished before 9:30.
Really?
You know, hats off to
the
crew at Petaluma Speedway for being organized and being able to get us on the track. We probably had half a lap to maybe one lap total on each class in order for the booth to line everyone up, and then we went green.
Man,
it was great.
That is. So yeah. What's the website?
Well, Petaluma Speedway is petaluma-speedway.com.
And your club?
And the club is rwdca.com.
All right. Well, hopefully we'll get some more drivers, because we're working with some local tracks here, and I think Brittany's in the process of getting these tracks to all start kind of traveling around a little bit. And as much as she talks about Petaluma, I got a sneaky feeling she's going to help you put some more cars on the track, and that'll equate to butts in the seat. Thank you very much, Chad. It sure was great talking to you. And we will definitely talk to you down the road. Michelle, say goodbye.
Thanks very much. Good to hear that the race community is so supportive of people who come from out of town. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it was great to see everyone. And thanks you, Dave and Michelle, for having me on.
Hey, it's our pleasure. And anytime you feel like chatting, we're always here.
Okay.
All right, buddy. All right, we're going to take a quick break, folks. This is Racer Radio. I'm Dave. She's Michelle. This is FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks. Hey, welcome back. You're listening to Racer Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
I'm Dave.
And I'm Michelle.
And this segment is brought to you by the good folks at Paris Auto Speedway, 18700 Lake Paris, Paris Road in Paris, California. Go to parisautospeedway.com, fastest half-mile track on the planet. You need to go out there and check this out. check the schedule. The 4th of July, it's probably one of their greatest shows. Unbelievable fireworks display. Michelle and I have been there a couple of times, and man, let me tell you, it is off the chart. So, Michelle, I'm going to let you introduce today's guest.
Right. Today we have Toby Sampson, and he is a sprint car racer and the owner of Oakey Race Cars. And so, Toby, welcome to the show. You're from Oklahoma. You've moved around, and you ended up here in Southern California, and now you're getting ready to go back home. Tell us about what you've been doing since you've been in Southern California and about your racing and all of your exploits.
And, Toby, why did you come to California? That's another good question.
Well, I guess the main thing that brought me to California was to learn to build the sprint cars. That's why I left Indiana after 2 years there and came out here and went to work for Clark Drake and got to just chase my dream of building cars. So, you know, wound up buying that part out of Clark and then did them just on the side. And, you know, I've been doing the repairs for everybody. So my house, I've lived here in Torrance, is Ricky Gaunt's old house for 20 years. I've been fixing sprint car frames here in the garage just as a hobby, you know, that makes beer money. So it's been good.
So now you're packing up going back to Oklahoma. You going to do the same thing back there?
Yeah, it's all my buddies back there keep asking me if I'm going to repair the new ones. And I say, yeah, I've been doing it this long. Why would I quit? But the main reason I always wanted to learn to do it was for the vintage cars. And the vintage thing back there is taking off pretty good. The old 100-inch cars, like what I ran. So I've already got guys lined up ready for me to do some restoration work and that kind of stuff. So I'm really excited to get to be able to do that.
Well, and don't you have more racetracks back there than we have out here?
They've lost a few in Oklahoma, but there's some others popped up, and it's just not as far to drive to them.
Yeah.
You know, like for us, just having basically Barona, Paris, and Ventura, you know, that's it in Southern California. I guess you could consider Bakersfield kind of Southern, but, you know, everything up north, it just takes long where, you know, we've got tracks back there scattered all over the state.
Plus, yeah.
You know, you're not the only 220 miles from Devil's Bowl in Dallas, or you got trucks up in Kansas. So that's who I'm going to be playing a lot with, is the Kansas Antique Racers bunch. They hit all the tracks in Kansas, so I'll get to see a lot of tracks that I never got to see as a kid playing with them.
Are those tracks all kind of work together as far as rules and regulations, so that somebody with a vintage midget or what have you can start, you know, going around to these different tracks and enjoying them?
Yeah, the cars bunch, they split them up into guys that want to go fast and guys that don't want to go fast. They're usually just kind of a filler show, but, like, as soon as I get back, because I'm leaving next Sunday after Paris, and July, I believe it's 25th and 26th, I get to go to the High Banks at Belleville, Kansas.
Ooh.
And it is strictly a two-night vintage show, you know, so they just all vintage cars, they, you know, let you go out and hot lap and kind of run a heat. You know, you're not, it's not really racing, it's exhibition, you know, because the insurance people would just have a heyday if you said you were actually racing some of these old things. But, you know, it's just a bunch of old guys out having fun.
Yeah, and you know as well as I do, are you racing? Oh, no, I'm just out cruising around, just making sure the car's too. And next thing you know, the guy's got his foot pushing out the grill.
Oh, yeah, you can go on Facebook and find the Kansas Antique Racers page and watch some of the videos from their stuff, and they actually get it on in some of them old cars. I've told a few, I was like, man, you guys are about crazy. Some of them cars, you know, 40 years old, 50 years
sure.
old, and me being on the manufacturing and repairing side, you know, I know what these things do as they get older, and I just,
I know.
But I'm going to throw my hat in the ring and go bang with them anyway. But that's the whole point. They try to just tell you no slide jobbing, no rubbing, no banging. So they keep their noses clean for most part.
Well, even at Paris Auto Speedway, nobody wants to run into somebody else. I mean, so that's kind of a common, you know, a sense attitude. But
oh, yeah. Well, there's occasions when you're really racing that you want to run over a guy. But you try not to. But the vintage deal, you guys got so much money tied up in those things. The last thing you want to do is, you know, the last thing you want to do is tear up somebody else's vintage car or hurt them, you know, because the majority of them guys in that deal, you know, are guys that never raced, and they're just kind of reliving
sure.
their childhood dream, or, you know, they were always fans but could never afford to do it. Right. Now, in their upper years, they can afford to get one and put it together and go play. So that's, I know they're all excited to meet me, because especially bringing my old, that old car of mine that with the dump truck motor that I ran in the sprint car, they're all calling me a cheater already, because
so,
I told them, I said, I'll throw a tear off at you when I go by and wave.
There you go. So the challenge I see is, you know, there's going to be a lot of vintage race cars back there. Are you up to snuff on all the technology? Because they're all going to want them to go back the way they were when they were built. Is that going to be a challenge for you, or is it going to be fairly simple, no real high tech, you know, it's just basically lower control arm sway bars, you know, quick change rear ends, that kind of thing?
They're basically pretty simple creatures. I mean, not really much different than the sprint car today, other than, like you say, technology, everything's gotten lighter. And
yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean, I even bought another old home-built 100-inch car from a guy. A buddy of mine went and picked it up. It's sitting in his barn in western Oklahoma. And you know, it's an old beater. But it's just cool because it is an old beater. You know, it was built in the garage. You know, it don't have fancy parts on it. And I'm going to make it my community car, you know, for people, buddies that want to go with me and get in one. I'm going to say, there it is. Run it through the fence. I don't care.
How smart is that? Now what engine will most of those vintage cars run?
They're just small block Chevys.
Okay.
You know, carbureted. You know, I mean, like mine, I've actually got the injectors on mine, but they actually did for a period from like 83 through 87, ran 360 fuel injected motors in them, you know, ran wings on them for the NCRA series back in the day. But so mine's kind of true to form. It's not how I ran it, because we just were 350s with a two barrel. But,
right.
You know, if you can make it bigger and louder, then you might as well.
Well, since Michelle now is a graduate of the Corey Kruseman Sprint Car School, you need to fly her back there and put her in that thing.
Yeah, she could get in one. In fact, that's who I'm driving for at Paris next week, is Corey Kruseman in one of his cars with the seniors for one last race. And it's actually kind of funny, because my buddy Ricky Gaunt's going to come out, and he's going to bring his mobile tiki bar. So the party, the after party, probably going to be a little wild.
You think? But,
Ricky stopped by the other day and was telling me Kruseman called him and said that you're going to be there. Gaunt said, yep. He said, all right, I'll be there. And that dad just told, he said, I got 8 sprint cars ready to go in the shop, and he wants the one that isn't ready. So it's actually the last car that I fixed for him, but it's the biggest fat boy car he's got cockpit-wise. So I said, I fixed it. That's the car I want. Get her done.
Oh, so you're not into that 2 pounds of salami in a 1 pound bag mentality. Is that what you're saying?
No. I'm like putting 10 pounds of crap in a 5-gallon bucket when I get in a sprint car nowadays. So.
Yeah, but look at I could see you. I could hear you smiling from here. Honest to goodness, I really can.
Oh, yeah. So. Nah, it's going to be a fun night. We had the going away party last night, and Michelle even came up and joined us at my going away party, and
cool.
It was cool because we had a lot of my racing family there, and then also, you know, some of my softball dads from my daughter's softball, and some of the football dads, and internet friends, and, you know, and somebody from everybody that I've worked for since I've been here in Southern California.
Wow.
Was there representing either the owners or, you know, other coworkers. So it was a good time, you know. So I know, Saturday at Paris is going to be a bittersweet night. You know, it's been my home track for 23 years now.
Wow.
And, you know, Donnie and Kim and the whole gang out there, I love them. And so it's going to be an emotional night for me. I know I try not
to think emotional. Well, it's going to be a new adventure. You know, it's another page in the book of Toby. You know, so
oh, yeah.
That's how you have to look home. At And you can always come back. I mean, how long does it take to fly from Oklahoma to California? That's nothing.
Oh, I know. I'll probably definitely be flying back out to the ovals in November. Just back. You know, the racing back in Oklahoma, I've been spoiled all these years with my 410 non-wing racing, you know, so I'm not much of a wing guy. And most of what's going on back in that part of the country is wing racing.
Yeah.
They're doing their best to do some non-wing stuff, but it's not, you know, it's not even 360 injected. It's You know, they have one, the guys in Oklahoma have always been terrible on agreeing on rule packages. They've got one group that runs an aluminum head, two barrel with a roller motor, and then you got this 305 deal taking off, and then you got these other guys with an all iron motor. And I'll go help some of my buddies, and especially my buddy Kevin Pickard, that's I'm sitting here staring at my 53-foot trailer sitting out in front of the house, semi-trailer that I'm about to shut the doors on and put the lock on it because it leaves in the morning. And my buddy Kevin's receiving it for me, and about four or five other buddies, and they get to unload it for me because it'll be there before me in his dad's warehouse.
Sure.
And he's also the one that saved me last summer when I broke down 50 miles west of Santa Rosa, New Mexico, and drove 7 hours to come save me. So his son's racing, so I'm going to probably go play with him and help them some. And especially after unloading my trailer, I'm going to have to go help him.
Well, it sounds like you're going to have a ton of fun, and you're only a phone call away. So if you want to get a little, give a little love to some of the local tracks in Oklahoma, we're more than happy to help you out, buddy. You know the number, and you know Michelle. So stay in touch. Oh, yeah. Stay in touch,
friend. I'll definitely. And if I have any excitement on the road next Sunday between here and Oklahoma, I'll call in and tell you where I'm broke down at.
Hey, and we'll come get you. Not for you to worry, my friend.
Cool. I appreciate it. So, but yeah, anybody wants to come out to Paris Saturday night for a good party, come on, because afterwards there's going to be one in the pits.
You got it, buddy. All right, we're going to take a quick break, folks. This is FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
Folks, hey, welcome back. You're listening to Racer Radio on FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The answer.
What are you doing? Anyway.
Well, I didn't have my mic ready.
I noticed that. Hey, Certified Car Care Clinic, sponsor of this segment, go to 11370 North Woodside Avenue. If you've got a normal car, your everyday driver, you need good maintenance. Same thing, if not better than the dealer. But if you've got an off-road buggy, if you got a race car, you got a modified, you got a Mustang, Camaro, or Challenger, and you want that thing to go wicked fast, their in-house dyno is definitely dialed in for you. And if you want to do a little underhood dress-up, either for functionality or just for looks, they use the steel braided lines that'll definitely take care of all of your needs under the hood. Go to hosespecialties.com. All right, hey, we brought Sue Mead back again with her good friend Chris, and they are going to be doing the BF Goodrich East-West Australia Jeep Expedition starting July 1st, and they're going to be gone for a long time, and it's a pretty challenging race. So welcome back, Sue.
Thanks. Good to be back. I think there are a couple more things to say.
Yeah, let's go. And Chris, welcome back.
Thanks, Dave. Good to be back.
All right. So what is it that we missed on the last 15 that we got to do this 15?
Well, let me jump in there. I think Michelle mentioned something about a large igloo, and you mentioned food. Obviously, that's a big deal. Everybody's got to eat. You know, it's not like the days in 1969 when the guys did it the first time. Unfortunately, we have these things called electric fridge freezers now, which are just awesome. So Dometic is one of the partners on this project, and they provide us with electric fridge freezers for each of the vehicles. So we will, you know, there's nothing like having a coldie at the end of a long day in the desert, which will be rationed because we can't carry that much stuff.
Of course.
Wow. So do you plug it into one of the vehicles?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it runs off of 12-volt DC.
Oh, gotcha.
Plug right in, yeah. Yeah, they're amazing. And I think you mentioned food. You know, the longest stretch, we'll have about that 800-kilometer stretch. It's going to be about 7 days, we're anticipating.
Uh-huh.
There's always unknowns. So we will have some perishables, but they will, you know, quickly disappear. And, you know, in longer projects like this, you end up, you know, just using dry sundries, you know, stuff that does not need refrigeration necessarily, or that won't keep that long.
Do you lose weight on this trip?
You know, we usually do. I've been fortunate, done stuff across Africa and South America, did a crossing of Antarctica, few years back, and it's like I always seem to lose weight, probably because I'm always focused on the tasks at hand, and you're busy. You know?
Sign me up next time, would you please?
I'm planning on losing 8 to 10 pounds. I'm quite excited about that.
You don't, Sue, you do not need to lose 8 pounds. Sue, unless you're eating an In-N-Out burger right now, you do not need to lose 8 pounds.
Let me tell you, that was one of my go-tos for going on this. Also, you can lose toenails. I've lost toenails on trips like this. Why?
What?
Because you're in boots, and you have to keep your feet at night. And speaking of boots, one of the conversations that Chris and I had, I think yesterday morning, was about the wide variety of venomous snakes, ticks, and spiders in Australia. And Chris told me about Kevlar liners, or pants with Kevlar liners, so that a snake strike, you would be protected up to your knee. So there are those kinds of rigors, but to me, that's it sort of literally goes with the territory.
Wow.
But there will be some challenges, and there will be great fun, as Chris said, at the end of the night, if we have the time to have a coldie, or just what makes me want to do it is to see what we're going to see. We're going to go by Ayers Rock. We're going to go to Birdhouse, where I've not been. We're going to be in Alice Springs. And just the deserts are of this world are just profoundly beautiful, and so few people will be able to see some of the vistas that we see, and I'm really excited. And
sure.
I'm excited about the teammates, and we should mention Rick Payway from the U.S. is going with us as well.
Yeah, who all's going? You got 6 vehicles. Who's coming? Who's on the list?
We've got we're bringing in several journalists. A gentleman named Justin He from China, 3 journalists from the United States, including Sue and Rick, a couple of media guys. Actually, my partner on the project, Ben Davidson from Jeep Action Magazine in Australia, and one of his partners in crime. And a couple of the original guys that are going to be with us, John Eagleson. So it's going to be an interesting group, and everybody's very well seasoned on remote type of travel. Yeah.
Right. Michelle, have you got a question for him? Because I know you'd just love to go.
Well, yeah. I mean, as far as little things, I'm a detail person, and so I would. This would consume my life planning for this kind of a thing, and everything would be, what are we doing about this? What are we doing about this? I could just see myself in endless meetings. Is that what you guys do? Or do you have like a weekly meeting to strategize and figure out who's going to do what? I mean, how do you organize for this kind of long trek?
You know, that's a very good question and a very valid point.
To answer that. Yes, go ahead.
So let me jump in there. Very, very good question, Michelle. There are a lot of logistics and a lot of moving parts in play on a project like this, and you do need to delegate. I'm in constant contact with Ben in Australia. He's been responsible for getting the vehicles sorted out. We've got a lot of communications with the national park, with the Aboriginal communities on the permits, because we're going through a special area. And then all of the other things that come into play, you know, medical, transportation, fuel. You know, we've that stretch for 800 kilometers, we're going to be using a lot of fuel. So we worked with a company called Long Range Automotive. They make extended range fuel cells in Australia. So lots of moving parts. Definitely a good question.
Yeah. So
I was going to say, Chris asked me, he was on a beach in Mexico and said on the Baja, I've got 3 minutes of cell time. Here's what we're doing. Do you want to go? And I said, count me in. When you come back from Mexico, let's start talking. And that must have been maybe a month ago only. And we spoke a couple of times. And now I call him every day for Chris. And I say exactly the kind of things you are saying, Michelle. So what about our airlift out? That kind
of might throw something else in there, Sue. You know, and Dave and Michelle, is that we're going to be documenting this entire thing. And in this social media environment, you know, we've got the 7 Slots Expedition website and on Facebook and on Instagram. So, you know, the in this today's media world, it's a constant challenge between filming, editing, and getting this stuff out when you're working in remote regions like this.
Yeah.
So how can people follow you?
On basically, it is 7 Slot Expeditions, and you can find that on the website, 7slotexpedition.com, the same thing on Facebook, the same thing on Instagram. And we'll be
explain what 7-Slot is for people. Okay, that don't
yeah, there we go. 7-Slot. That is like that identifies the Jeep brand. If you notice that just about every Jeep that's been made since the beginning, they have a 7-Slot grill.
Very good. Very good.
That's brilliant. And so, yeah. Do you have a sort of a designated social media person on board?
You know, we have a person on the ground in Australia that will be receiving this stuff, and then feeding it out. So in the areas that will be completely off the grid, we're not using like a BGAN satellite system, but when we do have a service, we'll be stacking the deck with basically just so that, you know, that we can post every day, that they can follow what we're doing. Maybe a few little gaps, but yes, definitely. And it's crucial working with partners like B.F. Goodrich and Warren. It's big companies like social media and that exposure, the sure. reach. Yeah, very
now,
important.
Are these vehicles yours or are they donated?
They're not donated. These are all personal vehicles.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. Jeep Australia has been on board, you know, as a supporter, but we decided we were going to drive all our own vehicles.
Oh, so you had to ship your own vehicles over there to boot. Wow.
No, there are vehicles we've got in Australia.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah. I forgot. I don't have that kind of money. I have nothing nowhere.
Well,
if you sold off a few things out of your fleet,
no,
you might.
No, not doing it. They're my children.
They're my I know children. How you are.
I know. So, you know, this now, Chris, now you, how many times have you done this particular event? Now, I don't think you've gone this direction, but how many times have you been across Australia?
Well, this is a new kind of a one-off event.
Yeah.
I've been to Australia 8 or 9 times and kind of circumvented the continent and been through the center, but never across this region. I've been across the Simpson Desert on the normal tracks, which run from Birdsville off to Mount Dare, which, you know, a lot of people do quite often. It's a regular thing that Aussies do. Actually, it's a destination for a lot of people.
Gotcha.
But never across that north end. This is the really special thing, is that we will definitely be off the grid. There are no tracks. There's a track that's like 50 years old.
Yeah.
So we'll be just threading our way through the Spinifex, which is the standard flora that grows in the area. And we'll be stopping for a little celebration at the geographical center of the Simpson Desert.
Okay. So now, are you going to have now, Sue? Are you going to drive and navigate? You know, I'm thinking press event. You know how that goes.
Yeah, right. Someone's got to drive. Someone's got to navigate.
Co-driver. Yep. Let me tell you, I haven't asked Chris that question. What I know already from expeditions of this sort, is that it's all hands on deck.
There you go.
Drive, navigate, help dig us out.
All right. Well, when you guys get back, we are definitely going to do a recap because I really want to hear what you guys are doing. Be safe, folks. Again, that 7-Slot Expedition. Google it. Get on the internet. Follow these guys. And couldn't have a better ending for a song. So you guys be safe. We'll talk to you in about a month?
About a month. Right. Thanks for having us, Dave.
All right, guys.
Thank you so much, guys.
All right. Our pleasure. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Gun Sports Radio, only in California, coming up next.
Racer Radio on AM 1170, The Answer, is sponsored by Love Radio Network.